We're here at AfterBuzz TV talking about The Lie of the Land. Or maybe not. Am I lying? You're just going to have to stick around and find out on the Doctor Who After Show.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's just me.
Yeah. All right,
guys, thank you so much for joining us today at the Doctor Who After Show on AfterBuzz TV. It's just me and the twins today. All right.
Okay.
You can keep dancing. Right. I just bring the noise down.
Okay. Sorry.
We were providing back vocals for your intro.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. We're going to talk about The Lie of the Land, the finale of the three-part Monk trilogy.
The 3 months.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at that Zach Wilson. Your dance was just too mesmerizing.
It's true. Sorry. I get it.
And now I'm off my game. No. Tari Miller is back with us this week.
Hi.
Whoa.
I'm Tari Miller. You can find me at Tari J. That's TariJay. Don't you tell everyone who you are, Dave Child.
Well, I'll tell you. My name is Dave Child. You can find me at MrDaveChild or DaveChild.com. On Talk About the Show.
Yeah.
All right. It's the Boys Club today. Adrian Snow is unfortunately out of town, so she couldn't join us tonight. But you can send her all of your questions and just demand her opinions on Twitter at Miss Adrian Snow.
Yes.
All right. The Lie of the Land.
Lie of the Land.
The third of three in the Monk's trilogy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How do you guys feel just off the top about this episode?
I enjoyed it. I think I had fun. It didn't blow me away. I think I liked the other episodes a little better, but this, I still like this, and I like how they kind of, instead of, well, the other episodes they played with the simulation theory, now they're getting into the alternate reality, alternate facts, sort of fun current, like, sci-fi theory and talk.
Yeah.
They're kind of touching the bases of what's hot on the internet right now. And it was kind of nice to bring that into the same trilogy as the simulation theory. So it was, I thought that in that way it was nice. There's still some weird questions. Like, I always, if the way you take over planets is to look like heroes and be heroes from the beginning of time, why do you look like dead monks? Why do you look like...
There's a number of questions, I think, that like they seem to be setting up that they never answered.
No, which is a very Moffat-y thing to do.
Yeah.
Kind of frequently, but it was still...
Is that a new verb? Moffat-y or adjective, I guess it would be?
It's a bit of a Moffat.
Ooh.
But it wasn't as bad as... Like, I really disliked... I forget the name of the episodes, but the one where Missy kills the Clara's fiance, and then the next episode, it kind of feels like they kind of forget that whole thing.
Danny, Blackwater.
The Blackwater.
We all forgot Danny.
Yeah, that was like kind of a tough. That two-parter was really tough for me because they didn't feel like they were connected, and it wasn't that. It didn't feel like that. It just didn't go in as extreme of direction as I think we were hypothesizing.
Yeah, and we'll get into all that, absolutely. Yeah. It was absolutely connected,
yes.
These three episodes. It didn't feel like they were separate pieces.
Yeah.
Tari, what did you think?
I thought it was a really interesting episode. I liked the parallel, not even real parallel, just like the new reality we were thrown into.
Yeah.
It was real bleak, really reminded me of the alternate reality that we had for Donna. I forget the episode, but when she... Wow. Turn left, or it was like turn left or turn right. It's one of those.
Right. That was...
Turn left.
That wasn't Donna. That was Donna. That was Donna?
Yes.
Oh, I'm thinking of...
You're thinking of the Martha.
No, I'm thinking of Rose's...
With
Eccleston.
I forget. I don't know.
But yeah, so it reminded me of the Rose, or the not the now you
Donna.
Got me. The Donna parallel universe that was super dark. Except this one, there was no like it was all real, which I really enjoyed.
Right.
And I also felt like we got a lot of really fun, like heartwarming doctor moments this episode.
Yeah.
Which like really made it made my heart warm, but it also bummed me out that this is going to be Capaldi's last season, because like he's really hit his stride.
Yeah.
And it really makes me sad. But he's, like, acting the crap out of all these episodes, so I love it.
He is delivering in a big way. This episode, for me, I really dug it, like, for a lot... let me start over. The trilogy, I was really, like, in, especially after last week's episode. I think they just set up a little more than they maybe... They set up more than they delivered.
Right.
And so... They built this amazing thing, and what things I liked about this episode, the social commentary.
Yeah,
that was like
great.
That was not it was never it never felt over like it felt like, never felt like it was hitting you over the head with it, but it was so clear what they were trying to say, and that's the perfect balance that you look for in a social commentary within a sci-fi show.
Yeah,
So I thought that was handled perfectly. As far as a Doctor Who episode, So as a sci-fi episode, it was great. As a Doctor Who episode, I wanted a little more. I wanted more from the monks, I think.
Yeah, we didn't really get very many monk moments at all.
Yeah, let's start there. Let's talk about the monks as villains, because that's the thing, that's the thread that connected these three episodes. Mm-hmm. It's the monk trilogy.
Uh-huh.
How do you guys feel about the monks by the end of... The three episodes.
Well, I like how they're kind of all powerful. There's like an all powerful feel to them, but their limits was kind of clear by the end of it, where they have to be psychically tied and tethered into the world. And I think they built that up well, and the way that they defeated them was a way that made sense. And it didn't feel like it was kind of a Deus Ex Machina or out of nowhere. And it felt like they actually wrapped up these villains and they went away, which is better than they've been doing earlier in the season, where they're just like, well, there's still monster bugs, but we're just going to walk away. Or there's still killer tiny robots, but we're just going to walk away. Like, it felt like they actually left the planet, so that was good. I think I mentioned this earlier, but it was weird how all the monks are just, they don't look heroic. So why, and in last week's episode, they said something like, we look this way because you're all dead to us, which was a weird burn. But, but like, they didn't change it. They didn't change it and look like benevolent monks when they change reality. They didn't change their appearance at all. They always were just these decaying corpses in monk robes.
I'd like to imagine that either... it's just kind of a misperception on their part, in that they actually do see, since they see all throughout time, they actually do, that's the way that they see us, is they see us
as mostly corpses.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the other thing could be that it's all to sell the fact that they've been there for so long.
Yeah.
It kind of gives them an eternal feel, as opposed to seeing them come in as, like, pristine gods at any point in your memory, and then you start to wonder, like, do they age? And, like, it begs more questions. So, like...
That's actually a good point.
Yeah.
That actually sells it more for me. You did it.
Thank you.
Good job.
That's why I'm here.
Yay!
I found them to be a really interesting villain, in that they are kind of... the complete opposite of the Daleks, in that the Daleks are very smart, but they are mostly a force-oriented species, whereas the monks use no force at all. I mean, not no force at all, because they do kill people.
Right.
But the way that they take over is strictly through strategy. You know, they run all their scenarios, and they find the best way to do things, and then they carry it out and let they essentially let us seal our own fates.
Yeah.
Which I think is probably one of the smarter tactics that any Doctor Who villain has used. Usually they're just like, bah, we're going to make people into robots, or bah, we're just going to subjugate the people through time stuff. But like, they found a way to essentially almost seamlessly integrate themselves into our lives so that we just don't resist them. And then, like, for anyone who does, they, like, pick out the stragglers. It's like if you're in a factory and you're running a bunch of hot dogs through, and every so often there's a bad hot dog, so you just throw it out, and the rest of the batch can be packaged.
Yeah. It's also – I love what Nardal says where he says if they think – if the world thinks it's always been this bad, they just put up with it.
Yeah.
And so you have 90% of the job is already done. And I thought that was a good way of – and they the way that they stated that also made it clear that it made sense in this world. It's like how my iPhone screen is cracked, but I've gotten used to it, so I just don't see it anymore. Yeah. It's just always cracked. Yeah. And that way they took over the world.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. I absolutely agree. I think their method was fascinating, and like especially for like as a sci-fi fan, like fascinating to watch, because that's a true thing about just human nature and something that they correctly identified is you can't rule by force, but you can rule by either adoration or respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that can't be, but it was manufactured.
Right.
Thus, the memory police had to be running around.
Yeah, there was a lot of 1984 nods in this whole episode where you have the Ministry of Truth and you have like this
truth hitting on fake news here. Basically, it's like imagine if like they could just go around, it's all fake news, arrest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. Imagine if they could. Oh, wait.
One of the things that was kind of nice, my favorite part of this episode was the doctor's when he starts talking about why he's on the side of the monks, and even though that was obviously a rouge, and I think every part of us was like, there's no way he's actually for the monks, but he did it in such a convincing fashion, and the way he talked about it was so convincing that it was a great performance and really well written. I love the whole, like, listen, we've history. We've done history where it's always looked at, hey, do you want to see what fashion looks like? No? Okay, what about fundamentalism? And just like touching upon new fascism and new fundamentalism, it was just a way of being really current and biting in a way that was very subtle. Even though he was talking about being on the bad side of the list. It also made it so they were good bad guys because he was able to talk about why they're good bad guys. He was able to give the bad guy speech. And that was cool to hear because we kind of believed him in a way, even though...
I totally believed it. Like, I couldn't... I was trying to... halfway through that speech, I had already moved past, like, is he lying to... What forces has caused him to join the side of the monks? Like, I bought it hook, line, and sinker.
There was a point where I thought maybe he was, when he was going to regenerate, he was going to turn out to be Missy or something like that. Some weird, like, it's a fake doctor, it's a robot doctor or something that we're going to find. But it was, it also had, like, they did that great. Bill tried to fake out and be like, okay, well, this is a code. So I know you're on my side. And then he said, oh, that's a code. That's what she's trying to do, is to be on the side. And that was a great moment because they could have just – that could have been it. And then he was like, no, this is a totally different game.
You're just like, oh, my God. Yeah. And then she shoots him. And then as soon as he stood up and he's regenerating, I'm like, wait, there's no bullet holes in his shirt. What's going on? It's a PG show, guys.
Yeah. I also like the idea of he could fake regenerate all the time. I feel like he could just like read books by that light, or he could just use it as a flashlight.
He just like ETs it, like has regenerative energy coming out of the tip of his finger so he can look.
Yeah.
I am curious. Like, that's what. The Moffat era, it has been one of those things that he uses, but never fully explains, like, how he's... Like, is that using up regenerative energy that he is going to need later? Or
can, or was that just, like, literally some devices in his clothes?
Was it a
that
projector? Made it look like?
Yeah.
I would... you know what
I'm
going to
say? It's
probably
that.
Projector.
Yeah.
I imagine so.
Yeah.
He's had a lot of time to tinker.
Yeah, they had this this all planned out. He was able to recruit a whole army around him.
Mm-hmm. Although... So. Bill has no context for regeneration energy.
Yeah, yeah. No, so
that was the one thing where he's like, was the regeneration too much? And I'm like, explain it to her. Like, yeah. I feel like two episodes later, she's going to be like, by the way, remember when you did that light thing? What was that? And he'll be like, oh, well, I'm a Time Lord and Time Lords regenerate, so I'll get a new face. And then she's like, that's weird, and then they'll move on from there.
Yeah, that was especially strange because a few episodes ago, he brought up regeneration.
Yeah.
And I think she said, what was that? And he was like, oh, let's not talk about it. And it was like too sore of a subject to talk about.
Yeah.
And now he uses the regeneration light as just like, huh? Because that's how everyone dies, right? Huh? And, you know, I guess it was, yeah, it was a little bit too much. I think he was right. And I think Nardal should have. I think Nardal should have gone like, "Yeah, it was way too much."
No, more regenerate. I wouldn't have accepted it unless he had his arm on his forehead and he was like giving a Mercutio style speech for the slings. Oh,
Paul Rubens and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Yes. Death. Yeah.
Yeah. But so back to the monks for a little bit.
No.
Yeah. This is one of where the monks was a strong character, was like in the use of the world that they had created by taking over, and like all of that, all of what they did to the world was fascinating and very interesting and fun to watch.
Yes.
Changed Berenstain Bears to Berenstain Bears.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they did. The monks did it.
No.
Shazam is now Kazam.
But that being said, like, if I'm being honest, like, the monks as villains do not rank high for me as good villains. I think, like, after the trilogy, they had no
personality.
That's the thing, is, like, the story was good around them, but the monks themselves were dull. They had no, like, taking over the world in the Doctor Who universe is not enough motivation for me.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen too many aliens come with like, and most Doctor Who villains, the best ones have a solid, understandable goal and drive.
Yeah.
Right. Taking over the world is so vague. Like,
well, I guess this was also taking over the world by protecting it. And by
but they never seem to be. Like, tell me if you took this differently, but they never seem to me to be like actively trying to protect us. That didn't seem to be their goal.
Well, like it's like what I said about how the Doctor, I think, gives the bad guy speech. So I think that everything the Doctor says, the monks actually do believe, and so I do think that they're like helping humanity by controlling it. It's just taking away free will. And we all know that the Doctor's for free will. So it's, you know, and requires papers to be written on it. But so I think that's what they're doing, and that was their motivation. But again, it's not that original of a motivation. It's the Ra's al Ghul motivation.
Right. Well, I felt like it was more, especially when we get the explanation from Missy about them doing it for millennia and all that stuff. Like, I felt like this was essentially just like a colonization unit, like a group of people that was sent to be like, let's take over that planet next. And they did it in the way that like our colonists did America, and that they came over and like, we're helping these people.
True.
And in turn, they're like mostly wiping them out and trying to force their beliefs on them.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. If that had been the case, if it had been in an expansion thing or a resource thing, like, that's what I needed. That was the thing that I needed, was that little thing that says, like, this is why we are here.
Told you that's why they were here.
We just said it.
Yeah, Zach, I don't understand what you don't get.
But the monks didn't say it.
It's implied. It's called subtext, bro. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah, I think that subtext was actually there. I think that is true. But you did, because you did see them, even in the putting up statues of themselves all over the place, you kind of see it. It's the same way that, you know, the Europeans ended up putting up statues of themselves up all over the place when they kind of took over.
Yeah.
Right.
And a big old, in place of the big old Jesus in Brazil, there's a big old monk. I think, in when we were looking around the world.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I wanted it a little more spelled out yeah. for that, like, just because it's their main motivation.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, here's the, like, when for like talking about, like, for me, the best villains, like, that the show has, like, some of them being monsters, like the Weeping Angels. Like, people are into the Weeping Angels, one, because they're scary, mm-hmm. and it's a good they're a great device for horror, but also, like, they're feeding.
Yeah.
Like, what hurts you is what feeds them. And that's the most simple goal and motivation ever. Like, they are doing this because it is the only way that they live. Yeah. You are their food. Yeah. Sending you through time is how they eat.
Mm-hmm.
The silence by them. Like, I know some people in chat, like, and, like, just in general, don't necessarily like the silence. The silence are my favorite Doctor Who villain.
Okay.
Because they had a super scary, just, like, basic, like, use at the beginning, where it's like, oh, there's a cool, like, trait where they, like, the whole, like, you don't remember them thing. It's mm-hmm. I love that device. And the monks had a similarly great device in the timeline thing where they're studying us.
Yeah.
That's a really cool thing. But what we eventually learn about the silence is that their whole motivation to take out the doctor, and then subsequently finding out that they were doing all of that in order to protect the universe via, like, the whole thing with the name, which, whether you, like, enjoyed that reveal or not, like, that's a clean, like, that the group that the silence represented, that they came from, had, like, a protective goal. They were going to go to extreme measures and hurt our heroes to do that, mm-hmm. but you understood why they were doing it mm-hmm. by the end. The monks here, unless there's a bigger reveal coming, just wanted to take control of the planet, and I needed that extra step to get why they wanted to do it. Because they seemed to imply that there was more last week.
Maybe. I don't know if they implied it. I think we maybe read a bit too much into it. Maybe. I think it was kind of a, what? Why do they look us? Old?
Never. Yeah.
But it was, yeah.
Well, I feel like the main difference, taking, for example, the silence, bless you. Thank you. I feel like the main difference is that we had time to develop them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
like, originally, the That's silence right. were just, and just like the Weeping Angels, they were both just really menacing, which made them memorable because they play on fears that we as a society have, you know? Mm-hmm. Like the threat you can't remember, the threat that essentially you can't look away from. Things like right. that. And so there's not a simple hook for the monks.
Well, the monks, their hook is how they took over the world.
Right.
Their hook is like... It's not in with the motivation, but why they're interesting is because they reset reality in a lot of ways through the simulation yeah. thing and through just literally resetting reality.
Yeah.
Well, and that is playing off of current fear and kind of conspiracy theories that are happening right now, and also playing off of propaganda and fake news and all that stuff that we're also kind of scared of right yeah. now.
I mean, if the people of the world started presenting an alternate history mm-hmm. to what we've all been growing up being yeah. taught, there's very little, if everyone buys into it, there's very little that we can do to combat that. Like, if you look at
you're thinking of Man in the High Castle?
No, I was thinking Columbus. Of the real life book. the people's people's history.
I thought you were thinking
Joseph,
of
no. Oh my god! I thought you were my 12th grade English teacher would be you have very a mad
right in front of
me. I know, but I don't even know.
I thought you were thinking of just the historical figure of Christopher Columbus, who was rewritten as like a hero who kind of discovered America.
Yeah,
but really committed genocide. Yeah. He was like maybe.
I was an thinking example. Of Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States, and Got like it. Basically yeah. like that, like all yeah, of those points is yeah. like. The story that we're not told, but is absolutely accurate.
Like Custer, he's another example of that. Custer seen as like a hero who died on a, you know, in a mound, yeah. but really he's not such a great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of examples of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is...
Look at you, Thomas Jefferson.
but this is the example where it, like, what if it went to the extreme?
Yeah.
And they just, like, oh, well, you, like, it wasn't, the Revolutionary War wasn't won by George Washington and a handful of, like people fighting for their freedom. The monks came in and said, back, ye British, or like something like that.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know why they said ye British.
Because they were trying to fit in.
They're old-timing.
Yeah.
But they did it with their mouth just like,
they're all ventriloquists. Yeah. That's something that we don't talk about, is how the monks are.
But yeah, like, I wanted to know why they were, like, keeping up their appearance like that. Like they said that they're, that that's not their real appearance. And if you're going to drop that, Moffat, like, explain
you,
it.
So you wanted to see what they, like, truly looked like.
Well, or, and, like, or I just, thought you explained it well. I thought they look immortal. They look like they've always been around. So that was kind of why they kind of kept it. So they seem more like immortal, always around figures, even though they're corpses.
Right.
They still could be benevolent corpses.
Maybe.
And also, I think it is, like, not quite understanding the human race that well.
It's fair.
One thing that I liked that I think was kind of a nice little dig, and I could be reading into this too much, but one of the things that kind of happened in the fake news central, when they go into the eye of the storm there, there's all these pictures in back of, like, the corpses of the monks hanging out with celebrities and political figures, or just the monks taking over political. Like, at one point we see Mandela when they took over, and then Mandela turns back into a monk. Mm-hmm. And at one point we see, when the monks are still in control, there's just one picture of Donald Trump. Not with a monk. Just Donald Trump.
Seriously?
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
he's a monk, bro.
And I thought it was, like, just saying that he's basically a monk. he's a decomposing corpse. But I also could just be looking into that too much.
The views expressed here are those of the host of the Internet.
Yeah.
That's not,
yeah.
All right. Let's I missed that. I'm going to have to go back and check that out. That's funny. I mean, that's – look – You can bat around it all you want. Like, we all know who they're talking about right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They took a jab at him last week, too.
Yeah, with the... Oh, yeah. I wouldn't vote for him. He's too orange. Yeah.
Look, subtlety is not necessarily Moffat's strong suit.
Right.
But in this case, I don't mind, because it's... I like the social commentary aspect.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Moving away from the social commentary aspect and getting into some Whovian craziness, let's talk about Missy.
Cool.
Yeah. It was nice. It's not such a bad... cell that she's in.
Yeah.
I guess the actual, like, middle box. That's kind of...
Yeah, that's almost, like, worse, because it's like, look at this really nice study with, like, comfortable chairs and all this stuff, and then, like, you're kept in this small box in the middle.
I think she only has to sit in the box when Bill is there. Yeah, like...
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a bit more sense. And that also kind of answers the question of, like, that I always feel whenever I watch The Flash... And they put those guys...
How do they poop?
How do they poop? You're putting them in criminally small places. They're throwing them in a super jail that has no place to poop or even sit down properly except for, like, on the ground.
Right.
So, yeah. I think that answers that question of, like, that's just a safety precaution when
because the Flash is clearly a villain, you guys.
Yeah. Anyway.
I mean... Yes.
We don't have to get on that. But
anyway.
But yeah, I also like the kind of reveal of what's in the vault. Wasn't because they revealed what was in the vault in the first of these three-parters in an interesting way, they didn't feel the need to go like bum 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 and like reveal it now.
Yeah.
It was just kind of, and we're just gonna walk into the vault. This is the first time we're in the vault.
Right.
But it doesn't seem like it's a big deal. It feels almost like another set piece that we just haven't seen Missy in a little while but we saw Missy in the first one.
Yeah.
So it also was a good three-parter because of that structure. Because they introduced Missy in the first one and didn't really talk about her in the second one, but then brought her back in the third. And I thought they did it in a good way. Also, it was kind of a nice Hannibal Lecter moment.
Yes. Oh, yes. I didn't thought about that comparison, but that's perfect.
Yeah, because they're just talking to her and as she's in prison and talking about clearly what they must do, but to do it, they would have to kill Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Oh, I didn't even realize that.
It's all coming together now.
Coming together.
So the Doctor's next iteration will be David Carradine.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Nardole even does the pinch, so it's almost that's a few hand grabs away from exploding heart.
That was cute. You mean Nardy?
Nardy.
Old Nardy.
It's just me, old Nardy.
I love how much more ridiculous his character gets as we go on in this season. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Every episode, Nardole is more and more absurd.
Yeah. I also love how they're playing off more off the fact that he's not a human. That he's, like, has bits and pieces. Like, he said, well, I had to recover from the toxic thing, and I would have died if I was human. And also,
Bill
and also,
had no follow up to that statement.
No, Bill's just gonna. I'm just gonna run with this now. Yeah. I think she knows that the doctor's not human, so I think she just assumes Nardole's like another type of alien.
Right. And the first time she met him, he did drop bolts. So she's like, he's probably like part robot, part human, part something else. All the robot parts.
And I love that his one hand, he can't get the pinch down, but he can do it in the other one. And they were starting to tell the story about where he found that hand. And then they just quickly, like, oh, we don't have time. We don't have time. That was great.
Look, the Nardole either web or comic adventure series will be phenomenal when
they
do it.
That's a spinoff cartoon. I think they should.
Oh, my God. Nardy cartoons.
Nardy.
BBC, you know what to do. Missy, though.
Yeah.
So the big, like, I love the Hannibal Lecter. I love that, like, she's fought the monks before. Mm-hmm. Like, that, like,
right.
There's this alternate, because it makes perfect sense. Like, we just never really think about it. Like, the Master is doing plenty of other, like, stuff between battles with the Doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's having adventures. Yeah.
So, like, the idea, like, well, I want to know why she had to fight the monks.
It feels like a territorial thing. Like, I like this planet. Don't try to take it over. And so she, like, it's two opposing forces just trying to take over the same planet.
Yeah. Also, that'd be so good.
Also, I think one consistent with her / he for the Master is she hates authority figures.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like that's the true. Monks are just about being authority figures. So it's a good reason to take them
It
down.
Did imply with that. That the monks were part of a much, much bigger civilization, even though this group was, there was only, I think they said 12 of them.
Yeah.
Right.
Total. Plus that dude in the ship.
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, he was like the captain. They were like on a ship from Spain, and Spain was like, yo, son, we got to take this place over. I hear they got gold. And then they were like, let's slaughter all these people. And
by have, gold, you mean psychic children. Energy?
Yeah.
And then there was like, that head monk in the ship.
Yes.
So 13, which is... 13 monks.
13 monks.
Yes.
13 doctors.
That's interesting.
Ooh.
That's interesting. Do you think they're going to come back? I don't know if they're going to come back. I think we might have seen the last of the monks for a little while. I don't think
I don't... Well, that's the other thing. It's like, I don't... Well, what would happen? I mean, they flew off. Like, they're out there. But unless there's, like, a very specific plan for them to come back before the end of the season, I don't know what else you do with
them. You can bring them back in future seasons. You can have more
if you ever come up with something, like, for them to do. Like, they exist.
Yeah, I'd like to just see them in the background of things. Like, they go to another planet, like, in a bazaar, and you see a couple monks just, like, hanging out, being like, what planet are we going to take over next? Like, I think that would be dope.
Coco.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I mean, I guess with those, once you get the mask on, the rest of it's, like, it's just a robe.
Yeah.
So, like, and you probably you only have to do one. So, yeah, you could fill out a market with a couple of the monks.
Yeah. I mean, why not? Like, it only increases... the world building of Doctor Who. Like, I love the fact that, like, in Matt Smith's run, we were able to bring back Sultaran and I keep trying to call them Slytherin, but, you know, Ginny and Vastra and Ginny, just because, like, they're part of the world, why not utilize them? And so, like, we get Solarian.
Yeah.
There it is.
Great. Good job.
Thank you.
Woo!
I would have stayed up all night thinking about it.
Nope, we were wrong.
Nope.
Silurian.
Wow. We should also talk about how the monks are initially defeated through the power of mom love. Through the power of mom love. Also, Also, because one thing I did like about this was they've actually been building this up throughout the season of just... of how Bill sees her mom and how they're and how she's kind of an ideal. And it's more of, it's not just, it's not pure love of a mother, it's the love of an idea of a mother.
Yeah.
You know how the it's, she's kind of a fictional mom to her. So the fictional mom that she's created and has like conversations with and has been kind of a touchstone throughout many of these episodes, enough to the point where we've becoming, we were getting suspicious that something, and maybe this is all that's going to happen with the mom, but it was at least building up where we know it's, she's always in her mind. We had the previous episode, the one I disliked, but the one, the haunted, the house, the knock knock episode, was also about like kind of a mom love story. So we're, it's like a running theme.
I don't think we're done with Bill's mother.
I don't think so either. But this was a nice, like, continuing to build that relationship and continuing to see it. And I also love, I love, this is a great doctor moment too, when he realizes that the mom is like saving the world. Mm-hmm. He, the way he makes it about him.
Oh yeah.
Like as soon as he sees that's working, he's like, I thought I was being kind, but I was saving the world. Was such it's such a conceited thing to say. Like all you need to do is be like, wow, you're saving the world, but he won't even say that. It's still about him. And I, that's what I kind of like about Capaldi's like doctor. There's like a sense of he's kind of selfish, and I kind of like that.
He's been on an oddly like increasing scale of conceitedness since the beginning of the season. Like the whole last season, he spent being like, "Nah, I'm a bad person." Meow, meow, meow.
But then,
like now, especially. Like, you go back to the episode where he became blind and he's like, ah, oh, I'm going to be so insufferable. And it, it, like, shows how happy he is in his life now, which I think really, like, just adds to the character.
Right.
Mm, yeah. Happy, conceited doctor.
He's happy. He's also torturing Missy. Or the cell is torturing Missy.
Yeah, what is with that last scene?
Yeah.
That last scene was so strange.
We only have a little bit of time left, so I wanted to make sure we talked about that.
Yeah. It was odd.
I think the idea is that it can't be how the vault was designed because she's supposed to be dead.
I don't think it's the vault. I think it's that she's been so busy distracting herself by doing assorted bad things that now she has the time to like reflect, which is essentially what jail was originally designed for, to like for you to reflect on your sins and really like think about and repent and all that stuff. And I think that's what she's doing, and that like now that she has time and she's not, I know.
It's the benefits of jail all of a sudden. Like,
yeah, guys, jail's amazing.
It's great. Nothing wrong with jail.
No, but I think specifically now that she's not running around distracting herself with all these things, it's given her time to really like think back and reflect on like what it means. Or she's doing a bit. I think she could also be doing a bit where she's like, if the, because earlier in the episode she's like, the doctor's version of being good is idealistic and it's selfish and it's unattainable. And so she could be like, this is what he wants me to be, and so I'm going to do it until he lets me out.
It could also,
Dave, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it could also, just because we know John Sims is coming up eventually, so, like, there's a part of me that is wondering if this is, like, she's purging herself for the next regeneration, so the next regeneration can be as good as the Doctor, and if there's some sort of psychic, because it seemed like it was almost like a medical process, where she's like, you didn't tell me this was going to happen, where I know everyone's name. And it's almost like becoming good is almost sounds like it's medical in a way. So it makes me wonder if it's a psychic kind of purge that's happening with her.
Oh, that's fascinating. Yeah. And makes me picture like a new, like a fresh doctor for next season once Chibnall takes over. And the new companion is a regenerated master trying to be good.
Wow, that would be great, because then you always have the danger of the master turning back to the master.
Yeah. But it's like a teacher-student relationship, which is usually what a companion is. But if it's like a fresh master who's just like, I want to be better, I've regenerated right. to be better because like there's a certain amount we know that can be controlled. Like you can boost certain traits during a regeneration during if you use certain sciences.
Right.
So if they boost the goodness of the master
yeah.
to be the doctor's protege.
And if it's like kind of if it's
I want it.
If it's also kind of like sorry, this is kind of the prediction stuff, but double down on the geek. It reminds me of there's a great storyline in Marvel where Loki kind of regenerates himself, so he's kind of so he's like a teenage Loki. He's like yeah. teenage Loki who's learning to be like a good guy, and he joins the like kid Avengers,
yeah,
the young Avengers and stuff. So if it's kind of like that, where the new master is going to be like younger and a companion and learning, mm-hmm. We're writing our fanfic. But it's a good one. It sounds cool.
Renji in the awesome. Chat says hashtag Master Reborn.
Master Reborn.
All that said, like did it. Started. What I took away from that scene, I thought that the room was telling her the names of all the people that she had killed. Mm. Like whoever instigated it, I don't know. It could be the doctor. It could be the design of the room. It could be something that she set in, like decided to do as part of this cleanse.
Yeah.
Whatever the reasons, I that was what I thought that she was saying was that like. The names were literally being read to her.
I didn't read that. I read that as she was remembering them.
Yeah, because she says, like, I'm always so distracted doing bad that I'd never have time to think about it. And then she's like, but
so your prison theory might actually be
right.
the Maybe.
Right
one. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, whatever it is, she is being, like, forced by whether herself or the physical room to... reflect and like learn yeah. from and like learn about what the consequences were
right.
of her actions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fascinating look at like it's a fascinating way to do a redemption story for a character yeah. that has done so much evil over the years.
Yeah.
That you can't even it's hard to fathom redeeming them effectively.
It was still a weird scene to end on though, wasn't it? It
was I don't
still
know. Like that for me was like that got me right jazz for like the rest of the season.
It just felt like an incomplete scene. It made me feel like I either missed something or they cut the scene in half. Like they were gonna get to something, and it was strange. It didn't seem like a tease. It just seemed like a, well, let's talk about the episode at the end, and then it was over. It just didn't feel like the end of an episode to me. It was strange.
Ember Scorpio has a question. Do we know that Sims regenerated into Missy?
No.
No, we don't. We don't actually know when in the chain.
I mean, we also don't imply
that it's post-Sim,
yeah.
Just based on context, but there could have easily been other masters in between.
Right.
Yeah, we also don't know if the way we meet Sims is going to be through a regeneration or what.
Yeah. It could be like a hallucination memory. For all we know.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tari, I think you were...
I was saying that I think it felt to me, because we started this... with the Missy stuff, it felt to me like the end of the arc of the Doctor coming to terms with, like, being her friend. So, like, we started with him, like, how she got in the box and him, like, saving her. Then it got to them working together, and then now we get to the part where he's officially become basically, like, her psychiatrist.
Right. Right. You know? He's her doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think... In terms of the, like, three-episode arc with the monks, weird scene to end on. But in terms of the three-episode arc with Missy, I felt like it was perfect.
Yeah, I guess that's true. That is true.
Yeah. I look forward to what more we do with Missy going forward. We've been pretty prediction-heavy in the last couple minutes.
Yeah.
But real quick, do you guys have any other predictions going forward, either about next week or the season as a whole?
Right. Well, next week I did see the next week on...
Ice Warriors.
That's what it is. It seems like a very... it might be a tough one for me, but to be honest, because it's very classic Doctor Who. It yeah. feels like a 1970s Doctor Who episode. And that might be a little tough for me. I have a little bit of a hard time with those. It might be great. I might have a lot of fun, but it tends when it gets real goofy like that. in a way that's almost retro.
Yeah.
I tend to have a harder time connecting with the episode, but we'll see. I'm excited for it, but. Yeah.
It felt like a Dinosaurs on a Spaceship type episode.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed.
I enjoyed that Dinosaurs on a Spaceship
episode. It might be that.
I'm intrigued to see what we do with the Ice Warriors. I really enjoyed the last one that we did, the one on the submarine.
Right.
With the Ice Warrior.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Sorry, I get a sense from your face you didn't like that one.
I was real meh on that one, but I was also like...
It wasn't like a favorite, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think it was mostly because of where it took place and that it took place during... Like I think a really crucial Clara arc, and it was just like, let's just hang out on a submarine for a while.
Oh,
and I was like, I need answers, bro. Let's not do that.
Look, don't. On Friday I had a real like back and forth with somebody who really likes Clara.
Yeah,
and
that was tough.
I don't know how you guys, if you guys know how I feel about Clara.
We all know.
All right,
Renji,
we gotta,
in the chat, I just do want to say, Renji90998 wrote, next week we might know why the Ice Warriors left Mars involving the zombie water.
That's
an interesting prediction.
Because of the waters of Mars.
Yeah, the waters of Mars.
Nice.
Because we are going back to Mars.
Yeah. One last prediction is I'm going to predict that Missy killed Bill's mom. And we find that out, and then it becomes contentious between Bill and Missy.
Oh, snap! I like that prediction.
Boom!
All right, guys, that is going to do it for the Doctor Who After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. I've been your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. Tune in just a few minutes. We're talking about the Leftovers series finale on the AfterBuzz TV Leftovers After Show. And preview, whatever, not even a spoiler, I loved it. Join us.
Now we don't have to watch it. Great.
Well, cool. I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J. That's T-A-U-R-I-J-A-Y.
Whoa.
Yeah. You can also find me next week on the Dark Matter After Show here on AfterBuzz TV.
I'm backing away.
Yeah.
You can find me, M.R. Dave Child, at MR Dave Child on Twitter or DaveChild.com. Stick around, because I'm going to talk about American Gods. Ooh. Ooh, it's a weird show. Ooh, it's getting less weird and more understandable. Ooh, tune in and we're going to talk about it.
I feel like Dave is like doing an Ice Warrior voice right now.
Ooh, on WrestleMania tonight.
Or that one. All right, guys, this has been the Doctor Who After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Thank you so much for joining us. We will be back next week to talk about the Queen of the Ice Warriors. I might have messed up that title, but we're going to talk about it regardless. All right, guys. Thanks for geeking out with us.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
Snap into a Doctor Who.
God.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.